for instance, water and arable land. Negotiations will establish the guarantee that the religious freedoms of all people in the region will not be prejudiced, for instance, access to religious sites. Negotiations will ensure that there is no violation of prior agreements by either of the parties involved. Negotiations will advance the spirit of democracy in a currently volatile region in the world. The fragile relationship between Israel and the Palestinians could be further fractured since the bid for the unilateral declaration of a Palestinian state arouses expectations in the heart of the Palestinian people. If it so happens that the vote is not passed, enmity between Palestinians and Israel could grow. Furthermore, if the vote is not passed, it will complicate the process of negotiations even more, since there might be a greater reluctance on the part of the Palestinians to negotiate. In conclusion, regardless of the outcome, the premature support for Palestinian statehood, while many territorial issues are unresolved with Israel, could easily lead to an escalatory spiral, enraging the populations of Arab states as well as Muslim communities in Europe. Professor Malcolm Shaw of the UK, has argued in an October 18, 2010 submission to the Office of the Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court on this very issue of the declaration of a Palestinian state. There is a general principle of law that an illegal act cannot produce legal rights. Ex injuria non oritur jus. Recognizing a state that was created through a treaty violation would be extremely problematic. There is also an American tradition in this same matter. According to the second restatement of the Foreign Relations Law of the United States in 1981, a state is required not to recognize or treat a state any entity which was attained the qualifications of statehood in violation of international law. Palestinian unilateralism entails a significant shift away from a negotiated settlement of the Arab-Israeli conflict and contradicts legal obligations that the PLO undertook when it first signed the Oslo Agreement in the 1990s. However, in a world wearied by the intractable nature of the Israel-Palestine conflict, it will unfortunately be viewed as a solution and, although not easily implementable, will increase pressure on Israel substantially. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Honorable members, let me canvass your counsel on this matter. Will we allow, and I actually propose that we allow all the presentations and then engage with them later. Is that fine? Okay, thank you so much. Thank you very much, Mr. Willie Peterson from Bridges for Peace. Can we have Mr. Dave Wilkin from the International Christian Embassy? Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Can I, in the meantime, request Mr. Hesh to, is he anywhere near this city? Oh, okay. Thank you. The floor is yours, sir.
Sorry, Chair. Before we proceed, is it possible that we can get the documentation from all the presenters, please?
We will proceed in the meantime. Honourable members, we will proceed in the meantime until we'll get the copies in due course.
Thank you, Honourable Chairman. Mr. Magawa. I am speaking on behalf of the South African International Christian Embassy branch, affiliated with the Jerusalem head office, of which we have 102 nations consulates over the world. Mr. Magawa, we also want to thank you for this opportunity to make the submission to the Parliamentary Committee on behalf of our organization, which I'll refer to as the ICEJ-RSA. I want to thank you for your opening comments that you will be inviting the Jewish Board of Deputies. You acknowledged Mr. Advocate David Hirsch, Jonathan Silk, who is here representing with us today. But I think if you can give them an opportunity to make a submission, that will be marvelous. Thank you. The present Palestinian bid for full membership of the United Nations is, I see, what you called us to comment on. Not so much on the statehood, but the two are tied together. So this bid from the Palestinians, without being declared a fully recognized independent Palestinian state, does not comply with the core principles of the Constitution of the United Nations as a legal body representing accepted independent nations in accordance with the policy framework and agreed principles thereof as embedded in the founding document and resolutions of the United Nations. So it's actually about statehood. From a legal point of view, it's out of order and must be seen as an attempt to try and manipulate the General Assembly and the Security Council of the United Nations to obtain voting and attendance rights, which is ultra vires. It begs the question why this deviation from obtaining a Palestinian statehood is suddenly the highest priority. It will only cause immense delays until the required route is followed. And may I say, Mr. Chairman, we as the International Christian Embassy, we are very full in support of a Palestinian state and that these negotiations get on the road and not be delayed any longer. The longer the delays are there, the more frustration is going to build up on both sides. ICJ South Africa supports the United Security Council Resolutions 242 of 1967 and 338 of 1973 as the only framework to achieve mutual negotiations and to promote agreement and assist efforts to achieve a meaningful and a final accepted settlement for a permanent two-state solution between Israel and the Palestinians. Such a performance-based roadmap to solve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and deadlock was adopted by the International Quartet, which was mentioned earlier on, the United Nations, USA, Russia, and the European Union, and was endorsed by the Security Council Resolution 1515 of 2003, which rejects any unilateralism in dealing with disputes between Israel and the Palestinians. The all-encompassing South African CODESA negotiations, which we all know, and where many of us were part of 1994, led to the birth of a new Democratic Republic of South Africa, built on a comprehensive national constitution as the foundation stone of our nation, which all citizens embrace with pride. It was not an unilateral declaration. This is truly a roadmap to solve all disputes on statutes and conflicts. And may I say, Mr. Chairman, this is a best practice flag for the whole world, what we achieved in our own country. The important essence of negotiations is the acceptance of the juristic person or legal entity of each of the negotiation parties. Without it, it is doomed to failure. The present scenario where the Palestinian parties of Hamas and in Gaza and Fatah in Ramallah represent a small minority of the population of Israel. They blatantly refuse to acknowledge the existence of the State of Israel as an independent democratic Jewish state, and is a serious obstacle and blockage to transparent legal negotiations. And secondly, it nullifies and delays the Oslo II Agreement of 1997 regarding negotiations, which was mentioned earlier. Thirdly, the continuous hate utterances and war cries of Hamas, supported by Syria, to exterminate the Jewish nation of Israel serves no purpose. Then, Mr. Chairman, the covenant of God, as contained in the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is with the land and the people of Israel and the nations of the world. This covenant is forever and ever. It's guaranteed by the name of God and by his character. God will ultimately uphold his promise and also, as you'll find in Isaiah 19, to bless Egypt, Syria, and Israel together with all believers from all nations that believe in him and turn to him. Actually, in the Bible, God says, Egypt, my people, Assyria, my beloved, and Israel, my inheritance. So that is powerful. It gives the way, it paths the way for these negotiations to get on. Because I believe it's on God's heart that peace be achieved in the Middle East. The Palestinians in Ramallah, Fatah, are prospering and have strong economic ties and agreements with Israel, while Hamas in Gaza is a war-torn community firing thousands of rockets indiscriminately into Israel. Palestinians in Israel enjoy full membership and representation in the Israeli parliament or the Knesset. The conundrum question, the puzzling question, is when and how Fatah and Hamas will accept one leadership between themselves to represent and speak with one voice. We often find conflicting statements. The demographic area and size of Israel is the same as our National Kruger Game Park. It's very small. Only an international agreed future statehood in the land of Israel will stand the test of time. The boundaries are close and the citizens work across borders. All violence and intolerance will have to end. If war is the preferred option, then the consequences, Mr. Chairman, are too devastating to contemplate in that part of the country, of the nations. The Middle Eastern countries are experiencing a tsunami of revolutions against ruthless dictators where the people are seeking true freedom and democracy. In closing, Mr. Chairman, any unilateral declaration to obtain a legal right to be a member of the United Nations without statehood or by means of a unilateral statehood will make a mockery of the United Nations and is doomed to fail. South Africa, we trust, will take an informed decision, Mr. Chairman, to abstain in voting on any unilateral proposals. And I will add, let us all pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of Israel, the peace of the Palestinians, and the whole Middle East. Thank you for this opportunity to make these submissions, Mr. Chairman. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bilken. Ladies and gentlemen, let's have the presentation from Mr. David Hesh.
An opportunity to address your committee on this important subject. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted copies for your committee members. I am South African. I was born in the Free State, grew up in Tabanchu, educated at St. Andrew's School, Bloemfontein, and the University of Cape Town, Dumelang. I am Jewish. I'm a retired businessman and former broadcaster. I'm a regular visitor to Israel and have traveled the length and breadth of that tiny country many times. And whilst I have more than the average experience, I do not claim to be an expert. I do not represent anyone except myself, and in no way can it be or should it be construed that I speak on behalf of the Israeli government or its embassy in South Africa or the local Jewish community and its official bodies and organizations. My position on the Palestinian bid for full membership of the United Nations or even an upgrade to non-membership from observer status is that I am totally against it. What we see happening is an attempt to gain legitimacy by stealth and to abuse the United Nations, its systems, committees and subcommittees to propagate the Palestinian agenda and war by other means against the legitimate and recognized state of Israel, a member state of the United Nations. In so doing, the Palestinians hope to avoid the required direct negotiations for peace as laid out in the Oslo Accords and other agreements signed between the Palestinians and Israel. Palestine is not a state and will not be one in the foreseeable future. If and when it becomes a state through direct negotiations and making peace with Israel, then and only then can it be regarded as legitimately deserving of membership of the United Nations. Granting it full membership without being a state opens a Pandora's box, undermines the United Nations, and sets a very bad precedent that will come back to haunt it. Accompanying the Palestinian attempt to enhance its status with the United Nations is also the application by the Palestinian Authority to unilaterally declare independence, thus avoiding direct negotiations with Israel. If the ANC before 1994 had taken the same approach, this country might be at war and in ruin, and thousands of people may be dead and wounded. The road to peace can only be built on a foundation of mutual recognition and direct dialogue. This is South Africa's great achievement and example to the world. If the South African government deviates from this, it would be hypocritical, cynical, and disloyal to its history and principles. It would mean that everything the ANC stood for was a lie. Allow me another analogy. Let us hypothetically assume the Western Cape decides to approach the United Nations with a view to declaring itself independent from the rest of South Africa, and similarly does so to avoid direct negotiation with the recognized government of South Africa. What would this government's response and view be? Its response would be obvious. Like Israel, it would oppose it vehemently. Similarly, not only for logical reasons, but also for legal reasons, thus must be the South African government's response to the Palestinians' application to the United Nations. It cannot and should not support the Palestinians in its current application to the United Nations. It is well known that the ANC and the Palestine Liberation Organization shared offices over many years as clients of the former USSR. Whilst the ANC was a genuine liberation movement, this cannot be said of the PLO, in spite of its name. No one but the Palestinians have denied themselves independence on numerous occasions since 1948. After 17 years, it is also time the South African government took a mature approach to world affairs and reconsidered where its best interests lie. It is a fact that in international relations, there are no friends, only interests. It is in the South African government's best interest to take a balanced and fair approach, consider whether they really have a contribution to make to this conflict, and to look to the best interests and welfare of its own citizens. South Africa's approach on this matter must also be based on what is best for both parties, and certainly not on past friendships and loyalties. This is the honest and only approach. In the words of the Greek playwright Euripides, though many have said similar things, those whom God wishes to destroy, he first deprives of their senses. Those who willfully misinterpret events in the Middle East are setting up their own destruction. Israel, logically, does not choose to join them in this endeavor. The Palestinians have recently claimed that the settlements are the core cause of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It is a nonsensical assertion, considering that the conflict was raging for nearly a half century before a single settlement sprung up in the West Bank, that is Judea and Samaria. From 1948 until 1967, the West Bank was part of Jordan, and Gaza was part of Egypt. The Arab world did not lift a finger to create a Palestinian state, and it sought Israel's annihilation when not a single settlement stood anywhere in the West Bank or Gaza. The people that lived in the West Bank and Gaza also made no attempt, nor did they express any desire for independence. Excuse me, may I just take some water? It is a well-known fact of history that the Arabs and Palestinians have always rejected every opportunity offered to them since 1948 to achieve independence. The international community has called on the Palestinians to go back to direct negotiations. Israel has accepted the principles outlined by the quartet to restart direct negotiations immediately without preconditions. Israel is now waiting for the Palestinians to do the same. The Palestinians have in recent years rejected every opportunity to negotiate a peace settlement. When we speak about Palestinians, we refer here to the Palestinian Authority only and not Hamas in Gaza, who reject any form of peace with Israel and only seek its destruction. Sustainable peace must be negotiated directly. It must be nurtured. It must be anchored in security. It must take root in homes, schools, and media that teach tolerance and understanding so that it can grow in hearts and minds. It must be built on a foundation of younger generations that understand the compromises necessary for peace. A brighter future in Israel and Palestine must be forged from within when both parties are open and honest about the challenges before them and resolute in their determination to meet them together. A democratic state cannot be built on the basis of calling terrorists freedom fighters. There cannot truly be interest in compromise with Israel when the Palestinians continue to urge justify the deliberate murder of its civilians. The Palestinians themselves are not united and certainly do not have the infrastructure and real will to achieve peace and compromise. The Palestinian Authority's recent agreement with Hamas, regarded correctly internationally as a terrorist entity, make the recognition of a Palestinian state even more problematic. The many issues that remain outstanding can only and will only be resolved in direct negotiations between the parties. Israel's peace with Egypt was negotiated, not imposed. Israel's peace with Jordan was negotiated, not imposed. Israeli-Palestinian peace must be negotiated. It cannot be imposed. The Palestinians' unilateral action at the United Nations is no path to real statehood. It is a march of folly. It is for our government to be wise and mature and not aid and abet this folly. Israel's right to peace, security, sovereignty, economic development, and maritime freedom, its very right to exist, has been and continues to be forcibly denied and aggressively attacked. This is the true origin of the tensions which torment the Israeli-Palestinian issues. All the other elements of the conflict are the consequences of this single cause. The so-called Arab Spring aside, which Israel has absolutely nothing to do with, is a danger, and there is still peril in the Middle East because of Israel's existence, sovereignty, and vital interests, which have been and are continuously violently assailed. Raising the status of Palestinians in the United Nations will be a retrogressive step and would create conditions for renewed hostilities. If this occurs and South Africa played a part in it, what would this government say? Would this government even care? What would each one of you think? South Africa's approach should not facilitate a backwards move to belligerency, but rather a forward move to a genuine peace. What the General Assembly should prescribe is not a formula for renewed hostilities, but a series of principles for the construction of a new future in Israel and Palestine. History summons us all forward to a permanent peace, and the peace we all envisage can only be elaborated in frank and lucid direct dialogue between Israel and the Palestinians. Israel has had to live with the intermediate arrangements which are neither war nor peace. Such patchwork ideas carry within themselves the seeds of future tragedy, and it is not for South Africa to be involved nor complicit in yet another war in the Middle East. Time does not allow full analysis of this vast and complex subject, but the South African government is urged to take a balanced, knowledgeable, and wise view on the issue. To this end, may I suggest that this committee seriously consider a visit to Israel to properly familiarize itself with the issues and the geopolitical situation. May I invite this committee to visit Israel and the Palestinian areas, where they will not only see the geographical issues and complexities, but also meet all parties but also meet with experts, analysts, and members of government on both sides. I would be willing to assist in this endeavor and accompany this committee to Israel to assist wherever I can. Mr. Chairman, I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. David Hesh. Honorable members, we've had those three presentations. I will, before we proceed to the ambassador, I will declare a break of about 10 minutes for tea and refreshments, and then come back in 10 minutes exactly, please. Let's. Thank you.